Blog Talk Radio.
Intended for us on tonight. So again, welcome into the studio.
Happy Thursday to each and every one of you listening in. I tell you, it has been a journey, this road, the things that we're experiencing in the world that we've never experienced before. We see so much going on. We finally kind of got through the anxiety of the political thing, and you know, then one minute when we think it's safe to just go back to what people would call normal, we hear, you know, if you're listening to the news, you hear, you know, COVID cases up, COVID cases down, that, you know. And so what I've decided, and I decided when all this started going on, is that I was just going to live. I was going to live according to God's purpose for my life. I wasn't going to be in fear. I wasn't going to be in doubt. I wasn't going to be in worry, but that I was going to trust God. And I tell you, sometimes the road got kind of tough, and I felt my faith wavering, and I had to be reminded either through the Holy Spirit or, you know, through God speaking to me directly, or God using other people to speak to me. How many of us know that we have to be encouraged? On this walk, there's going to be peaks and there's going to be valleys. And there's times when we're deep in those valleys that we just need to be encouraged from other people. Sometimes it just takes one word to change our whole dynamics, to change the dynamics of things, to change our lives, to provoke us to purpose. And so that's what Thursday nights are about. That's what processing the pain is about. I want to provoke you to purpose. As the Holy Spirit provokes me and God sends faithful, committed Christian laborers into my pathway to provoke me, I want to pay it forward. I want to provoke you all that's listening in, my weekly listeners, to provoke you to purpose. I want when you leave off a process and a pain that you're thinking, that has provoked you to thought. That's what I should say. I want it to provoke you to thought, because I want you to start thinking, because thinking leads to questions, and questions lead to answers, and you know, and answers, once we get the answers, then it leads to choices. And so I want to provoke you to think, so that you can start asking the right questions and getting the right answers, and then you can make the right choices, and then you could be in where God's called you to be. So tonight, I have to tell you, I feel like Hezekiah, you know, when God turned back the sun down and he gave him more time. I just feel like I got more time. I don't feel like the rest of the story, because I prayed my 120 years. I'm claiming my 120 years in the name of Jesus. But I feel like the time, I do have an occupation, and today we're booting up for heavy recruitment. So I've been like extremely just busy, and so find a little time, and I like to, on Thursdays, I like to get as much time to just sit and be still and shut off from the rest of the world and shut off from the thoughts and the cares of this life. I just like to be still in the presence of the Lord. And even though he's told me all week, you know, give me different words and different things that he drops in my spirit that he wants me to teach on, there's still that Thursday where I want to consecrate before him. And so, you know, when you work a regular, you know, when you work a occupation, sometimes the time, you seem like you lose your time. You know, it's like you don't have enough time. And so today was one of those days where I felt like I looked up. I'm at my occupation. I looked up. It was after six in the evening, and, you know, not leaving me a lot of time. And I got home, and I'm like, okay, I got to get busy, you know, because you just, you know. Anyway, the end result of that is I felt like I was shut down for 3 hours. He took that hour and a half and literally multiplied it. He doubled it. And I honestly felt like it was 3 hours. I found myself looking at the clock like, okay, when is it going to be nine? Okay, when is it going to be nine? I'm ready, Lord. When is it going to be nine? And so I got the time that I needed to go before his throne. And again, I believe that the word that he's given us on tonight is a good word. What I heard in my spirit as he began to kind of direct me in the direction that he wanted me to go is I heard that that my people are not getting it, that my people are not getting it, and that a lot of people are going to be deceived. And you know, it states in his Bible in the last days that, you know, even the elite would be fooled and deceived. But he was, I heard it, my people are not getting it. And so you've heard me not necessarily teach in depth, but you've heard me mention the scripture multiple times. If you've been listening to my show any amount of time, you've heard me speak about this scripture. And I believe that God really wants to break it down for us. He wants to break it down in bite sizes so we could fully chew on it, and that we could chew on it and fully taste it and digest it and get it in our souls, in our spirit, get it deep in our spirit so that we'll be able to act on it. Amen. And so, again, as I was studying, he said, my people are not getting it. And it's this whole thing with Romans 10:9. It's that scripture. I'm going to read that, but then we're going to start breaking it down. It's important. It's very important because there's a twofold process to this, and we're not getting it. A lot of us doing the first portion of it and just not truly getting the second portion of it. And so what I see in this is kind of like anything. You can't half do anything. If you were baking a cake, you know, there's certain ingredients that if you don't put it in the cake, it could be sweet when you taste it. It could be, it may even look halfway decent, but there are certain things that if you don't put in the cake, it's not going to rise. It's not going to cause it to, you know, do what we know cakes do. They rise up, you know, and so you have to have all the ingredients in order for this cake to cook properly. Amen. Same thing with driving a car. You can have a car. It could be beautiful. You could wash it. You could have the keys to it. But if you don't have any gas in that car, you ain't going nowhere. You just going to be something that's sitting in the driveway, because you're not going to go anywhere without gas. Even if you have keys, you're not going to go. So I believe that where God is taking us on tonight through his word is that he wants us to get the gas. You know, he don't want us just to have a pretty car. He don't want us to just have the keys. He wants us to be able to drive the car. He wants us to be able to put the car in motion. And that's where the title for this show came from, is Belief in Motion Produces Growth. Belief in Motion Produces Growth. He wants us to grow. And we can't grow if we don't believe, because it's our belief in motion that produces growth. And, oh, get your pens and paper out, glory to God. Get your pens and paper out on tonight. Take notes. Don't just be hearers. Be doers. You know, take your notes so you can reflect back. You could go back. I'm going to be giving scriptures on tonight. You could go back and you could look at those scriptures. Study the scriptures. Get them down in your spirit so you'll know when you're going through those trying times, when you're going through uncertainty. I don't know about you all, but I have moments, you know, I know this is a faith walk. There's moments where I question, Lord, am I getting it right? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I even supposed to be? What am I supposed to be believing? I'm just keeping it real. I'm being very transparent, and I know I'm not alone. Whether people admit it or not, I'm sure people have had those moments, in their lives where they're questioning their belief system. They're questioning, who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to be doing? And so when you have those moments, it's always good to reflect back on the Word of God. You know, you could go back and you could read it and you could meditate on it. And so I'm going to start in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read that first, and then we're going to get in to, you know, just breaking some things down. And again, please take notes. There are some things on here, and I'm going to make mention. There's one or two things on here that I read in an article. I'm going to let you know when I read it in the article, because by no means do I want to plagiarize or steal anybody else's revelation, because I believe that I spend time with God to get my own revelation. Amen. But there's a lot of times, even in the midst of my own revelation, that God takes me to others' revelations, because reality needs confirmation. And so he takes me to other things. He shows me where to go. And, you know, I study and get a chance to meditate on even what others may have, what has been revealed to others. Amen. So again, go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to start there reading. I'm reading from the King James Version. And it says, if thou, meaning us, shall confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read it slow, and I'm going to read it every word from the King James. I just kind of broke it down to some modern English, but I'm going to read it exactly word for word, and I'm reading again because I want you to get it in your spirit. I want you to hear this because it's going to be important that you're listening, that you're listening, not just hearing, but you're listening, so that when I begin to move forward by the Spirit of God, that you will, some things will connect for you, and it'll begin to make sense. And it is my desire that you will have that aha moment, that light bulb will pop up, and it'll give you a different revelation. So again, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Father God, we thank you on this evening. As we come boldly before your throne, Father God, we ask for your forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings, Father God, creating in us clean hearts and renewing us in us clean spirits. Father God, we just pray that you would just unveil your word on tonight. Lord, that you would give us revelation knowledge. Father God, that we would hear it in the spirit and not by the letter. Father God, for we know that you said that you, God, is spirit, and those of us must worship him in spirit and in truth, Father God. And so, Father God, we want to worship you in your word tonight, and we want to worship you in the spirit of your word and in the truth of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, I was reading an article this evening, and the article was in, it was in New Haven Register. And I just read it briefly, and the reason I just read it because it kind of caught my attention, because my whole thing for the last week has been about belief, belief, belief. And so I seen that this said belief, and I said, oh, this is interesting. Let me read it. And one of the things that this article was saying in New Haven Register, it says that there are three different people trying to accomplish a goal. And the first person utters, I'll believe it when I see it. The second person says, I will believe it when I feel it. And the third person said, or the third person declared, I believe it, and so I will achieve it. Belief is God's kind of faith. Belief is God's kind of faith. It's the faith that believes first, for belief makes things happen. And I tell you, I get excited, because when God drops something in my spirit, and way before I even seen this article, I had already came up with the show. I already started studying. I already came up with the title, Belief in Motion Produces Growth. You know, I come up with some stuff. I'm good for coming up with some slogans or mottos, whatever you want to call them. And so when I read that, I was like, wow, confirmation. See, God will send confirmation to us. He sends it to us through his word. He'll send it to us through other people. He'll send it to us in dreams and visions. So he does. And this is, he sent this article and had me stumble upon it and it was confirming what I had already picked up in my spirit, that belief makes things happen. When we believe something, we'll do it. We'll believe, we'll do what we believe. We will do what we believe. Coach D, ask the question. Remember, thinking leads to questions. And so the reason that this got me excited is because the Romans 10:9, and God said, my people are not giving. You know, people know Romans 10:9, and people will say Romans 10:9 with their mouth. They will confess that Jesus is Lord. But what they're not doing is the other portion to this is because it says not only do we have to confess with our mouths, but we have to believe in our hearts. And whatever you don't believe, you won't do. And so a lot of times we're struggling in our journey because do we really believe what we say we confess with our what we confess with our mouth? Do we really believe what we confess with our mouth? Well, tonight we're going to find out. We're going to begin to question ourselves. And not question yourself in a bad way, but again, it's going to cause you to start thinking. Do you truly, honestly believe what you confess with your mouth? Therefore, I'm going to go to Mark. I'm going to go to Mark because the article had Mark 11:24. I know Mark 11:24 very well, and I want to read that. Mark 11:24 tells us, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, there go that word, that you receive them and you should have them. Again, that's Mark 11:24. So I said, okay, this belief thing, there's something to it. We got to get this belief thing under control. We got to truly understand this belief thing. Because that, if Romans 10:9 is telling us that we confess with our mouths and we believe in our hearts, that God has raised him from the dead, and I mean, that we'll be, you know, we believe that, that we'll be saved, right? And I'm jumping around here, so bear with me, a little dry. But if it's telling us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. That's what it says, right? And then it goes on to say, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So we're going to get into that. We're going to break this down. It's not going to just be words anymore. I'm getting ready to give you a picture. It's going to, I want you to have a perception. I want when we read that scripture, we begin to see a picture. And so we're going to break it down. So here, belief. Let's say what believe means. I went to Webster's Dictionary, and I kind of wanted to know, what does Webster say? We know what Webster says, and then I know what the Spirit says. So Webster says believe is to accept something as true, genuine, or real. It goes on to say to have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion, to regard the existence of God as a fact. And so tonight's question I'm going to ask you, do you believe? Do you believe? I went further on because I wanted to get some more definitions, and I wanted to get definitions that were spiritually based. And so I went to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, which defines faith as a belief in or confident attitude towards God involving commitment to his will for one's life. Ooh, let me repeat that. It said faith as it defines faith as a belief in or confident attitude towards God involving commitment to his will for one's life. It also says belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. Belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. A person who believes is one who takes God at his word and trusts him for salvation. So when we say in Romans 10, when we say that we are confessing with our mouths and believing in our hearts, we're saying that we're taking God at his word. We're taking him at his word, and we're trusting him for salvation. And so when we're taking him at his word, it don't stop at Romans 10. When we're taking him at his word, we got to take him at his whole word. We can't pick and choose. We can't be, you know, use cherry pickers. I like this. Oh, this is cute. I like this. This makes me feel good. I like this because it's going to bless me. I like this because I'm a prosper. I like this because it tells me all the good things. We got to take all of it. We got to take all of his word. And so what we have a tendency to do is We want to just believe certain things. We don't want to believe all of it. We want to believe certain things. And so that's not how it works. And so we have to check our belief. And how do we begin to check our belief? We begin to check our belief because when you believe, belief in motion, belief causes an action, and that action should cause growth. Belief causes an action, and that action should cause growth. Then I had to further take another step further because I wanted to understand belief. I wanted to break it down. I wanted us to get it. Yeah, many of us say, oh, yeah, I know what belief means. But, you know, Coach B, I always got to do a word study. I wanted to break it down. But then I want to step further because when it says belief, it says is to place one's trust in God, truth. And then it also went on to say that belief is a confidence towards, attitude towards God. And it's involving commitment to his will for our life. So then the word righteousness came up, and I began to think about righteousness. And I said, okay, we know, we know these words in chapter 10 of Romans tell us, for it's with the heart that man believe unto righteousness. So I said, oop, there goes that word again. So I went back, I said, okay, what is the definition of righteousness? And so as I was reading that, it says righteousness is acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. And I said, okay, simply put, it could be said that being righteous means doing what is right. Being righteous means doing what is right, obeying the law, or adhering to morals. So we know that righteous means doing what is just simplest form is doing what we know is right, obeying the law, being of good integrity. That's righteousness, right? So now I said, okay, so we know that that's righteousness. We understand belief now. There's no questions. There's no assuming. We understand belief and we understand righteousness. This is going to help us to understand Romans 10. So now we understand Romans 10 because now when we're reading Romans 10, it says that if thou, and I know I keep reading it because I want to get it, I want you to get it in your spirit. If thou should confess with thy mouth, we do that. We said, yes, Lord Jesus, we believe in you. And then, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the question here is, do we really believe it? Do we really believe that God sent his only begotten Son to this world, not to condemn it, but that we could live through him, that we're saved, that our sins are forgiven, that he is the true atonement for sin. And if we believe that, then what we're going to do is our actions, the things we do, the things we say, not saying we won't make mistakes, but it should line up with that. It should line up that we believe that. Because you can't say you believe that and then you just act in any kind of way. You can't say that you believe that and you're stagnant. You can't say that you believe that and you're bound by fear. We can't say that we believe that and we're not operating in all that God has created us to be. And I know that's harsh. It's a harsh truth. But we cannot say we truly believe and we are held hostage, scared to breathe, scared to move, scared to go. What if God right now during this major pandemic and the media is telling you everybody dying? But what if God told you, I need you to go here and I need you to do this? Do you trust him for his word? Do you trust that he's given his angels charge over you? Do you trust that he has a hedge of protection around you? Do you trust that? Or are you going to be governed by what the news say, what media say? You know, some churches are open, but many churches aren't open. And it's ironic to me that churches are scared to open, but everybody's in Walmart every day. Walmart has not lost a penny during pandemic. People so bored of sitting up in the house that they'll go to Walmart and shop just to get out the house, but they can't go to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry. Oops, Would y'all forgive Coach D? I'm sorry I'm stepping on somebody's toes. I apologize for stepping on your toes. Forgive me for that. So let's go a little further. Let's see how we know. How do we know? I'm going to give you eight to grow. Eight to grow on. I'm going to give you some bullet points here. We're going to touch on some things. And this is how we know we're growing. This is how we know if we're putting our belief in motion. Do we really believe what we're confessing with our mouth? And we're going to know that because there's going to be certain things about us as believers that there are certain things that that should show for us. There's what I call maturity. There's a growth. We should be mature. There's the things we should be mature in as believers, and we should be growing. And so I'm going to just give us eight to grow on, eight that came to mind for me based on my readings, based on not just tonight but just over the course of my walk. I know some of these eight things, I could say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm grown in that area. And some of these eight things, I'm going to be like, you know what, I need to work on better. Because, again, like I told you, when God reveals to me, when he shows me, when he corrects me, when he encourages me, then I bring that back and I want to do the same for you all. I want to encourage you. I want the word of God, not Coach D to correct you, but the word of God to correct you. Because God, you know, it says that God chastens those he loves. He corrects those he loves, just like we correct our children. We correct them because we love them. We don't want them to get hurt. We don't want them to fail. We don't want them to be, you know, to hurt. So we correct them. We make sure we tell them, hey, don't do that. That's gonna get you in trouble. Oh, you better not say that. That's dangerous. We do that because we love him. And God is the same way. He loves us. And so he loves us, so he sends his word through people. It ain't the people. We get caught up on the messenger. I don't like such and such. They too this. And I don't like such and such. She too this. And she, oh, you know what? She crazy. She been married twice. Or, oh, he crazy. You know, we get caught up on the messenger. Forget the messenger. Listen to the message. And if you allow yourself to listen to the message with your spirit, it says the spirit bears witness. Your spirit will know, and it will confirm to you if what's going forth and what's been said is from God. So no matter, you don't have to like Coach D. Coach D don't have it all together. And some of my family members may tell you that I get on their nerves. They may tell you that I absolutely get on their nerves. They may tell you that I'm bossy. It could be a list of things that they could tell you about me. But it's not me. It's God in me. And when God is in me and God is speaking through me, because he's telling me, I want you to deliver this even when it don't feel good. I want you to deliver this because I believe my people need to hear this. I want you to deliver this because I have a word. Then I'm just going to be obedient to that word, and I'm using the word of God. Now, my commentary, everybody has their own commentary. You don't have to even trust in my commentary. I want you to have your own commentary. I want to give you the word of God. I'm going to give you what my commentary or thoughts are, but that's supposed to provoke your own thoughts. Remember? That's what we said in the beginning. I want to provoke you to thought so that when you hear it, you can begin to think about it in your own mind. Start comparing it to some things you've gone through, that you're going through, or that you will go through. Start using this to help you to grow. So the first thing, remember I said have your pens and paper. We're going to go through something. I'm going to give you eight things that I believe will show that you are growing, that you are maturing, and that means that your belief is in motion. Because belief in motion does what? It produces growth. So number one, when I say they, I'm talking about we as believers. We are motivated to seek God without prompting. We are motivated to seek God without prompting, meaning nobody has to tell you to go seek God. That should, in your mature state, when you get into a certain growth level and you're growing, nobody has to tell me. But I know that I need to seek God. I'm motivated to seek God. I'm motivated to ask God questions. I'm motivated to say, Lord, Father, what's this? I could be driving down the street and he'll give me a revelation and I'll start laughing. I know people can think I'm crazy. I'll start laughing and I'm talking. I'm having a full-fledged audible conversation, and ain't nobody in the car but me and God. And we dialogue. So we, as mature believers, are motivated to seek God without prompting. I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I'm going to give you supporting scriptures that you could go back and read on your own time. And for that one, it's Psalm 43, chapter 43, verses 3 and 4. Again, that's Psalm chapter 43, verses 3 and 4. Take some time this week, this weekend. Just take some time and go back over each bullet point and then read the supporting scriptures. So, again, they are motivated to seek God without prompting. Number two, we are more concerned about the inside than the outside. We are more concerned about the inside than the outside. You get to a point in your growth, in your growth with Christ, you get to a point where you're not concerned about the outside. You're concerned about the inside. You're concerned about your heart. You get to a point where you know that you know, he said that we don't even know the depth of the ugliness of our heart, but you start getting a glimpse. If anybody can relate, I know I'm not by myself, but you start being concerned about those little thoughts that come up in your mind or maybe certain ways you get ready to respond, you know, and it's deep, that's the deep hurt and pain deep in your heart, those things, those ugly things about ourselves that we don't like. And most of us don't like to spend a lot of time with God and be still because those things come up. He, you know, in order to get you cleansed, if you are stopped up, constipated, you haven't used eliminated in days or weeks, what's the first thing you do? You go get a laxative. Why? Because that laxative begins to move some stuff, stir some stuff up, and it begins to flush this out of that toxin out of your system. Same thing. Getting in the presence of God begins to stir some stuff up, and it begins to reveal some things about ourselves that he's telling us, hey, you know, you got that sitting over there. You might need to forgive that. Or you got this sitting over here. You might want to take a look at that. And we begin to see those ugly things. A lot of us can't deal with the ugly things that's deep in our hearts, so we don't find ourselves spending that quality time with God. Because, see, we want the stuff that makes us feel good. We want the stuff that, ooh, you're doing great. Ooh, you're pretty. See, that's that outside stuff. Oh, you're pretty. Oh, you're doing great. Oh, you're successful. But when you mature in the things of God, you start being concerned, what's going on in the inside? Lord, show me my heart. Show me the things that's not pleasing to you. Show me those things. Supporting scripture for that is Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. Number three, we search for the truth. Ooh, Jesus, we search for the truth. See, when you get to a certain point in God, you begin to search for the truth. You start searching his word, and you ask him for guidance. You ask him for clarity. You ask him for direction. And we got to be careful because in these last days, there's a whole lot of truth that, you almost say truth, that's not the truth. And we got to be careful because there's going to be people that we love, there's going to be people that we even respect that's going to be trying to project their truth onto us. We're going to see new religions. We're going to see new belief systems. We're going to see a lot of things. And if you all, especially with the way the world is set up today, see, years ago, we couldn't see it. We didn't have the technology. There was no internet. I mean, there was no social media platform. You wasn't able to see everybody's thoughts. Now we got a process where you can see everybody's thoughts. Why? Because everybody is posting their thoughts on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever else is out there. Everybody's placing their thoughts on these pages, so you get a chance to see the uglier people. You get a chance to see. See, we all twisted because we think that Donald Trump brought racism or he made it more prevalent. No, racism was here, and technology made it more prevalent. Because why? We could see thoughts. We see people's Twitters. Everything that's twiddling around in their mind is now on social media. We see it now. It's not worse. It's just that we see it now. The blinders have been removed, the scales. And so we see how people think. We see how people believe. We see what people don't believe. So it's there. And so we need to make sure as believers that we are constantly searching for God's truth. And we search for God's truth through what we know to be God's word. And then what we do is ask for revelation knowledge. We ask God to open up our spiritual eyes to be able to see what it is that he'll have us to see. And I'm going to tell you something, and I believe this wholeheartedly. When we begin to ask God for guidance, when we begin to ask God for his godly wisdom, when we begin to ask God to show us, I don't care who translated it. I don't care if it was King James or Martha Stewart. I don't care who translated it, because there is a lot that's lost in translation. But see, when you are spirit-filled, when you are born again, spirit-filled believer, it doesn't matter, because you are being led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is not going to steer you the wrong way. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you wrong. So your relationship, your trust, your belief cannot be in pastor, cannot be in bishop, cannot be an apostle, cannot be in Coach D. It's got to be in God, because it's too much deception in the earth for it to be in anybody other than God. And when you trust in God, the Spirit of God that lives inside of you is activated, and when it's activated, it leads and guides you unto all truth. Amen? Into all truth. The search for the truth, the supporting scripture is Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Again, that's Mark 10, 51. Number four, they admit truth to God. We admit, as believers in maturity, in our growth, we begin to admit truth to God. What does that mean? That means that we're truthful about ourselves. We're truthful about ourselves. So we begin to admit, we don't have to tell God nothing. He knows everything. But we now can have, we're mature enough to have these dialogues between us and God, and we could be truthful about ourselves. You know what, Lord, I know, you know, I blew it. I know I could have did better. I know that my form of discipline wasn't great. We began to admit truth to God. And we said, Father, I know I've blown it. Father, I just know I'm raggedy. I know that I'm a sinner saved by your grace. We began to admit the truth. We began to admit the truth to God. Because it takes a maturity, it takes a certain maturity for a person to begin to say their ugly stuff. But furthermore, and that's Psalms 32:5. But even more so on number five, it tells us we admit truth to others. So not only do we admit it to God, but now we feel good enough that we could admit, we have a maturity that we can admit truth to others. Thursday night, Coach D, if you've been following me for any amount of time, a lot of my testimony, a lot of what I minister or teach or thought is stuff I went through myself. And I don't have a problem telling my audience if I messed up, if I'm raggedy, I don't have a problem telling my audience that. Why? Because I'm not giving the devil no room. I'm not giving him no room. And see, he tries to keep us in secrecy. You know, you don't want nobody to know that. But if people know that, then this. And so he tries to keep us in secrecy. But, honey, I confess it. I say, yep, you know what? I'm struggling in this area. Oh, yeah, I did this. Oh, yeah, I overate this. I don't mind doing that. Why? Because at the end of the day, in number four, I admitted my truth already to God. And so it doesn't even matter what anybody else thinks. And I don't even mind if I stepped on a toe, if I said something that caused someone else pain, if I said something that hurt somebody's feelings, I would be the first to repent, because it's never my intention to maliciously say or do anything that's going to cause somebody else great pain and suffering. But sometimes, as being humans, we blow it, and we may say or do things that cause people hurt. And for that, if you're listening in and I ever did that to you, I apologize. I'm not going to be held hostage. So speak your peace. I'm going to speak my peace. If you step on my toes or did something to hurt me, I'm going to speak my peace. I'm going to say, hey, when you did that, that hurt me. I'm giving you an opportunity to make it right. Giving you an opportunity to make it right. And that's important. And a lot of times we don't do that. We hold on to anger. We hold on to bitterness. We hold on to upsetment. And we don't talk about it. We don't communicate. And then we could go a lifetime hating somebody, mad at somebody, not talking to somebody because of something they said. They don't even know they said it. They don't even know that you was hurt by it. But we will hold on to that anger. And we say we forgive, but we didn't forgive. How do we know we forgive? Because you don't even talk to the person no more. You don't even want to be around them. And not saying you have to hang out and be friends, but you only want to be around them. Because every time you're around them, what happens? You remember what they said or did. And that's not forgiveness. Amen? On number 5, it says, then we admit truth to others. The backup scripture on that is James chapter 5. And verse 16, James 5 and 16. Number 6, they are forgiven to forgive. Woo! We, I'm saying they, I put this in the they form, but we are forgiven to forgive. What do you mean, Coach D? We are forgiven. God has forgiven us for our sins and our shortcomings, but he's forgiven us so that we can forgive. And the backup scripture for that is Matthew 6, 14, and 15. I told you guys I won't go to the scriptures, but I'm going to go to Matthew. That's a very important one because our whole walk is about us being able to forgive in order to being forgiven in order to forgive. That's our whole walk. And, you know, we have to forgive. You know, the word of God tells us that we must forgive if we want to be forgiven. And so, again, number 6 is we are forgiven to forgive. Let's go to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. King James Version, number 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's deep. See, that was King James. 14 told you if you forgive people, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. 15 said, but. But if you know anything about but erases everything that was said previously. So he said, wait a minute. Yeah, I'll forgive you if you forgive others, but that cancels out when you don't forgive, because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you, which is in heaven. We all know that scripture. Just a friendly reminder. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, and we want to remember that. So, again, number 6 was they are forgiven to forgive. Number 7, we are convicted unto repentance. We are convicted unto repentance. I'm going to give Coach D's version of that, and I'm going to give you the supporting scripture. When you get to a maturity in Christ and you get through these other things, these are just signs. When you know you're doing these things, this is signs that you are growing, that you are growing. Your belief is in motion, and it's causing growth. You see it. There's transformation taking place. You see change. And these bullet points are just things you could kind of measure. I'm giving you these to measure, okay, because now you can say to yourself, am I operating in forgiveness? Okay, now I got to remember. Maturity says I got to forgive. Why? I got to forgive because it's not forgive you know, or me being asking for forgiveness or forgiving another person is for me, it's not for them. When I ask for forgiveness, it's for me, but when I forgive somebody else, that's for me too. It's saying, it's, you know, it's cleansing me. And so if I'm walking around, it doesn't hurt anybody else if I'm walking around in unforgiveness, because now that's taking up space in my head. That's rent free in my head. And every time, I don't care when somebody do something to hurt us, and you all could agree, every time we think about it, we play the whole situation over again. Can you imagine being angry at somebody for the last 5, 10, 15 years, and every time you think about this person, you gotta play out the whole relationship. You got to play out everything that happened in your mind. And so you are constantly inflicting pain on yourself over and over. So you have to play out the whole situation. Why? Because you have to constantly remind yourself of why you don't forgive them. You got to constantly remind yourself, okay, this is why I don't forgive them, you know, and you have, and in you replaying and rehearsing where that took place, you're trying to convince yourself, and you're trying to justify why it's okay for you to be angry at them still. So forgiveness is important. We were saying, I don't know how I got back on forgiveness, so somebody probably needs to hear that, but we were saying in number 7 that they are convicted unto repentance. So this means basically that you get to a point in your walk where you get that you become true to your conviction. You know, those little things that drop in your spirit. You know, as believers, as mature believers, you already know what's wrong and what's right, what's, you know, what's evil and what's good. We already know that. We already know when we do get ready to do something, because normally the Holy Spirit will tell us, like, don't you do that. Mm-mm, don't do that. We don't do that no more. Or if you slip up and do it, and we often do, there's an immediate conviction. You know you shouldn't have did that. Now go over there and tell that person you're sorry. That's that conviction. And then if we're not careful, when that Holy Spirit tells us, you know that wasn't right, now go apologize. If we're not careful, we won't even go apologize. But maturity tells us, you know what, repent. Lord, you know what, Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. I oftentimes say, I just wondered in the garden when they blew it and ate of the tree, and God came into the garden in the cool of the day and was looking for them. And they try to pretend and shuck and jive. You know how we do. I just wonder often, what if Adam would have just said, Lord, I blew it. Me and my wife, it looked good, and we ate. I blew it. Can you forgive me? I just wonder what would have happened. So we should be, in our maturity, we should be convicted unto repentance. That means that conviction leads us to repentance. Conviction leads us to repentance. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 is the supporting scripture for that. And last and final is number 8. Hope you all are still with me, that you haven't fell asleep, that you're still alive and well, that you're being blessed by this word on tonight, that it is blessing you exceedingly abundantly above all you could think. Hopefully it's giving you some things that you could utilize as you go about your growth in Christ, that you could utilize these bullet points. The last one, number 8, says, they train themselves daily. We, believers, we train ourselves daily. And basically what that means is that day to day, that we are growing, that we are trying to be more like Christ. This day to day. And when you get to a maturity, you understand that. And I think for me, number 8 is probably what I struggle with the most as I read these and I meditate on them and I read the supporting scriptures. I think number 8 is my struggle, because I could be, you know, taking, you know, two things in the struggle there. The first struggle is when I blow it, to understand, you know, okay, you blew it, and you're growing. You know, just you only could grow today. And if we're not careful, sometimes what we blew it on Monday, we'll hold on to that all week, beating ourselves up. That's what the enemy do. The enemy's job is to condemn us. God's job is to convict us. Conviction brings us towards God. Condemnation takes us away from God. And the enemy's job is to constantly remind us of our mistakes. His job is to constantly give us the burden of not being good enough, the burden of, oh, yeah, see, you thought you were a Christian, or the burden of, oh, yeah, you thought you were, or, yeah, how can you say you did because you did that? See, that's his job, is to condemn us. He's the accuser. But glory to God. He had a plan. And Jesus came for that reason. So we have to just grow, train ourselves daily to understand, yes, you know, if I blow it, okay, I blew it. I repent. Get back on track and grow. Train myself daily in prayer. You know, pray. Prayer, you know, you could pray throughout the day. You could pray all day. You could pray without ceasing. I really believe I pray without ceasing. Prayer is those conversations with God. And I have conversations with God all day long. It doesn't have to be a formal on your knees. It doesn't have to be a formal in a quiet place. It doesn't have to be formal. It's your thoughts interacting with God's thoughts. Or God's thoughts interacting with your thoughts. And you're having dialogue. Ask them questions. Lord, you know, should I be eating this? I should not be eating this. Lord, I know I don't need to eat this. It's the dialogue. And that's training yourself daily. Get used to training yourself daily to have dialogue with the Father. And then his word. That's another area. You know, making sure that you're reading his word daily. And I'm not saying you have to go and read a whole chapter or that you have to go and do studying. See, I'm a studier. I like to study. I love word search. You know, if you give me a word and I'm going to break the word down, I'm going to search it out. And so for me, being a studier, it's hard for me to just read. It's hard for me to just intake because I start reading and I want to begin to break things down. And sometimes you just need to read the word. You know, you just need to be still and read the word and not get into the concordance and then you want to go and, you know, go to the study Bible and then I want to flip over from King James over to NIV and I want to see the comparisons and all that. And sometimes you just have to be still from the busy work and just be still and read the word. And if it's a scripture a day, if it's, you know, some people use Psalms or Proverbs, you know, people might start day one, and they'll just each day read a proverb each day. Just get his word in you. You know, make sure you're getting his word in you. There really is going to come a time where it's going to be difficult probably to having Bibles or getting Bibles. And he said in his word, but you got to, he's engraved it on our heart. So while the time is, and while you still can, get the word of God in you. Read it. Meditate on it. Play it. If you don't like reading, audio. You know, they got audio Bibles now. You know, you might want to play it while you sleep. You know, you put it on, you know, put it on play and just let it play. I play worship music all night, and the worship music is not with words. It's just worship music. Not, you know, just the sound of worship. And it's new instruments, but they're worship. It's a worship experience. I play that through the night. I have a, you know, of course, I'm the ministry I'm a part of, Boss Radio. I'll play that. That has a little bit more words. The songs have more words and stuff. But there's mics where I'll play that. I just let that stuff play through my home. You know, so that's something that you could do too, because whether you know it or not, you could be going on about your business, but that stuff is playing even when you sleep or you're moving around your house, cleaning or whatever, cooking, and it's getting in your spirit. And that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to get in your spirit so it could begin to edify your spirit. And that causes growth. So, again, I'm just going to go through the bullet points real quick. I know we're coming towards the end of the show. Again, we have number one, they are motivated to seek God without prompting. We are motivated. We are motivated. We are motivated to seek God without prompting. We are more concerned about the inside than the outside. We search for the truth of God. We admit truth to God. We admit truth to God. We admit our errors to God. Number five, we admit truth to others. We're not afraid to repent to others. We're not afraid to apologize. Number six, we are forgiven to forgive. That means that we don't have a choice not to forgive. It's not an option. It's part of our belief system, and we have to forgive. Why? Because we need forgiving. Number seven, we are convicted unto repentance. That means that we follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When we are convicted, we acknowledge it and we repent. We acknowledge it and we repent. And number eight, we train ourselves daily. We train ourselves daily through prayer, through the word, and we get into a repetitious of having dialogue daily with God. We want to have dialogue with God daily. Amen. Well, I hope again tonight has blessed you. We thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that you will begin to allow your belief, put your belief in motion so that it could produce growth. Again, your belief in motion so that it could produce growth, so that when you're reading Romans 10, 9, and 10, you know that that you're confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you're believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you're saved. I am saved. I am saved because I'm confessing with my mouth, and I believe in my heart without doubt. I believe it. And because I believe it and my belief is in motion, meaning I'm in motion. I'm doing what God is telling me to do. I'm moving in the things of God. I'm believing. And because of that, I'm growing. And how do I know I'm growing? Because eight bullet points just told me, you know what? Yes, I am motivated to seek God. Yes, I'm more concerned with the inside of me than the outside of me. Yes, I'm searching for the truth of God. Yes, I admit the truth to God. Yes, I admit the truth to others. Yes, I am forgiving, so I must forgive. Yes, I am convicted unto repentance. And yes, I am training myself daily. Have I perfected all this? No, but I'm operating in it. And I'm going to continuously operate it so that I can continue to grow in the things of Christ. So again, I just thank each and every one of you. And I look forward to tuning in with you on next Thursday. Things are coming along great. I will begin to start announcing some things. You'll start seeing some things go through email blast as we get closer to the launching of Processing the Pain. It is finally happening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is finally happening, and I can't wait to begin to share it with you all, the listening audience. We will be advertising. I will let you know how you can purchase the book and when you can purchase it. But you will be going, you will definitely be able to have that book in hand going into 2021. Amen. And I am ecstatic. So again, I want to thank you. Know that you all are loved and truly appreciated. Good night.